The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The next article is titled Father's Day's Finds. Senior lifestyle editor Victoria helps you do right by your favorite dads with tech, wellness, food, and travel gifts that make life easier. Whether he's your dad, partner, or friend, the fathers in your life deserve more than the bare bones of gift giving. These options run the gamut of style and comfort, and also happen to be incredibly useful. First, Sony Link Buds. Thanks to the speak-to-chat feature in these earbuds, music stops when the user speaks to someone and automatically resumes once the conversation ends. Number 2. Ember Mug Squared Metallic Collection. This sleek smart mug with a built-in battery keeps his preferred drink temperatures for up to 1.5 hours. Number 3. Homedics Drift. This 16-inch kinetic sand table doubles as a home decor piece that can also help him find inner peace. Number 4. Tote and Carry Varsity Luxury Travel Set. Upgrade the carry-on included backpack not pictured of the guy still traveling with a gym duffel bag. Number 5. The Fit Cook X Dash Stainless Steel Lunchbox. He'll love trading in the brown paper bag and loading his lunch into this stylish box by Kevin Curry instead. Number 6. Aura Ring Generation 3. The latest Aura Ring has just created great battery life, tracks everything from sleep to workout stats, and looks chic too. Number 7. Google Nest Audio. With this smart speaker, he can play his jams, manage his calendar, and get pressing questions answered by Google just by using his voice. And number 8, Jambi's House Hoodie. He can look great while relaxing, courtesy of this breathable, colorful, and cozy house hoodie. The next article is titled, The Great Workplace Exodus. Workers across the country are choosing to exit their jobs for greener pastures. But how do Black women fit into this mass resignation? In the past 2 years, people have been uttering two words with greater frequency than we have witnessed for some time, perhaps ever. I quit. The pandemic seems to have lifted a heavy veil from people's eyes, particularly in the workplace, and it has deeply impacted how they view and want to experience their jobs. Employers are no longer able to sit back and take their workforce for granted as employee expectations have shifted. Referred to as the Great Resignation, a mass exodus has been occurring in the American workplace with an historic 4.5 million employees leaving or switching jobs as of November 2021. And that number is continuing to climb. Researchers say there are many reasons for this, with most workers citing long-term dissatisfaction with the status of their career, job burnout, and the desire for better or more supportive work culture and conditions. Kiana Marshall, 32, can personally attest, working since 2018 at a nonprofit arts organization in Chicago, where she consistently felt undervalued and underpaid. She says her time in quarantine gave her the space needed to look at her perspectives through a new lens. although Marshall didn't officially hand in her resignation until late 2021. When she landed a job with a higher title and salary, she notes that the pandemic exacerbated issues she'd been overlooking for years. She relocated shortly after from Chicago to Dallas in January 2022. I mentally left my previous role in April 2020, just 1 month after the pandemic began, Marshall says. That was when I realized they didn't see advancement opportunities for my skill set, despite my dedicating so much time to the organization and demonstrating what I thought was my being a great asset to them. That's when I knew I had to make my exit. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, employers posted 10.6 million jobs in November 2021, down from a near record 11 million the previous month and just below last July's all-time high. Job openings have now exceeded 10 million for six consecutive months, and researchers say these positions are harder than ever to fill. This might sound like good news for job seekers, but some questions still need to be answered. The first, where do Black women fit into this scenario? What is driving Black women to say, I quit? Jessica W. says the reckoning started right after her 30th birthday. That milestone arrived while she was quarantined at home in Los Angeles, a period of isolation that forced her to put things in perspective like never before. For the longest time, I thought 30 sounded like the age by which you were supposed to have your life together and hit the all right benchmark, she recalls. Personally, I have not hit my financial or career goals at all. Now, 31, she says that watching other people resign in droves encouraged her to consider her goals more proactively, especially as a Black woman working in the highly competitive field of TV production. Since landing what had seemed to be her dream job in 2019, she says that she was committed to showing up and doing her best. She figured that eventually she would be recognized and properly compensated for her hard work, right? Wrong. Nearly 3 years in, she's feeling the bruises from bumping into the glass ceiling, and for the first time since getting hired, she's exploring other options. Before, I probably felt more complacent going along whatever predetermined path is set up for young women of color who get a great opportunity and are just trying to naturally rise through the ranks, she reflects. But I think the pause that came with the pandemic helped me see, oh, my gosh, I've lost 2 years of my life and I deserve so much more. The pandemic also prompted Michelle C. Meyer Shipp, 54, to consider changing course. She says that although she has reached the point in the career where she's the captain of the ship, she has belatedly realized she was steering in the wrong direction. In August 2020, just weeks after the social justice uprisings in June, she was tapped for a high-profile position as Chief People and Culture Officer for the MLB based in New York. This was a coveted role given that women of color occupy only 4% of the country's C-suite positions. Her job was to create a pipeline of opportunities to increase diversity in the organization. Although that is still one of her life's missions, she says she began to feel out of place because of the lack of work-life balance. Ironically, though she had suspected the post wouldn't be a great fit. She says she would have stayed longer had it not been for the extraordinary circumstances of the pandemic. I can tell you right now, my moving on from the MLB definitely would not have happened had it not been for the pandemic, says Meyer Shipp, who's now CEO of Dress for Success Worldwide. Had we been operating in what I call the old normal, I would never have had the time to come to the realization that I wasn't operating in my purpose. Like many women, she had been caught up in the rat race of balancing motherhood and work until being forced to reset by the pandemic. It was one of the best things that could have happened to her, she says now. Marshall's experience has been similar to Meyer Shipp's in that her relationship with her professional life has changed. Before the pandemic, I definitely didn't allow myself the chance to want more, because even though I had seen other groups achieve more equitable opportunities in the workplace, no one who looked like me was set up for those advancements, she says. I'll never disqualify myself from what I want again. Marissa, 40, a Charlotte, North Carolina-based communications strategist, also found herself feeling the itch to leave her job during the pandemic. After working for a financial services company for years, she realized she needed to create for herself the opportunity she'd been fighting for in the corporate world. It was like an epiphany that happened right around the time decisions began at my previous employer about, when are you coming back into the office, she recalls. After really asking myself some tough questions, I realized I'm simply not. Amid those return to office conversations, Marissa resigned and turned her focus to building her own consulting business. She said a series of articles she read about the Great Resignation of 2021 helped her to start redefining what success might look like for her. A mother, she realized that she had never spent as much time with her children as she was able to when shelter-in-place mandates were in effect, and that this time was something she never wanted to take for granted again. The Great Resignation has been surging for nearly a year, and it's showing no signs of slowing down. Workers are finding their passion with new jobs that are culturally supportive, more consistent with their priorities, and better paying. And a whole swath of former corporate climbers are even turning to entrepreneurship. Black women remain among the country's fastest growing group of entrepreneurs, their ranks increasing by 50% between 2014 and 2019, according to a study by American Express. For many people, the massive exodus from pre-pandemic jobs signals a long simmering yearning to be fully valued in the workplace. This is especially true for Black women who deserve much more recognition than we have been given. Now we are finally saying no to limitations on our dreams and making the Great Resignation our era of empowerment. The next article is titled Entrepreneur Lessons. These enterprising women have helped diversify LGBTQ plus spaces, created a virtual community for geek fans, and made plant-based beauty products more accessible to consumers. Here, they share what they've learned while building their businesses. Angelique Williams, founder of My Umbrella, San Francisco. Williams quit her job as an architectural designer in 2017 to start the app My Umbrella. Her goal was to address the lack of diversity in LGBTQ plus spaces. She recognized the need to become a student of entrepreneurship first. When you start your own business, she says, the amount of mistakes you make and the magnitude of things you don't know is an incredibly humbling experience at best and a lethal strike to your ego at worst. She believes an entrepreneur's greatest asset is having a network of founders to share insight on their own learning curves. In the long run, having other founders to bounce ideas off, lift you up when you're doubting yourself, and celebrate successes with is even more beneficial to your mental health than raising capital, Williams says. B. Law, founder of Quirk Chat, Tulsa. In 2018, Law's love of anime, cosplay, and alternative rock inspired her to create a space for people like her. Quirk Chat's users can create collaborative video threads to discuss geek fandom and join communities based around their interest. I learned that addressing my limiting beliefs and lack of confidence was the best thing that I could do to show up properly for my team and raise outside investment, the former cytogenetic scientist says. Law believes that your audience and their experiences as users has to come first. Founders building apps for the geek fandom community have to realize that customer discovery never stops, she states. That means you have to continually survey and assess the needs of your targeted audience, especially younger generations. Dorian Morris, founder of Undefined Beauty, Los Angeles. Undefined Beauty is a wellness brand offering products in the CBD and adaptogenetic mushroom categories. Morris founded Undefined to make wellness using the magic of plants more accessible in the beauty space. Responding to her consumers' needs, Morris has expanded her line and made her products available at Whole Foods, Market, and Target. Listen to your target audience and solve their problems by rethinking benefits, formats, and price points, she says. But don't forget to infuse your authenticity into the storytelling around your business, because your story is your superpower. Morris's story serves as her North Star. It has helped her develop practices that keep her focused on Undefined's mission. Nimbleness, agility, and scrappiness will get you far, she says. The next article is titled Community Convergence. Essence CEO Caroline Wanga explores purpose, leadership, culture, and community in an intimate C-suite conversation. We believe that Black women are the chief executive officers of culture, home, and community. This column focuses on helping every Black woman recognize the chief that already exists within her by introducing her to the chiefs who live among us. Shanda Smith Baker has more than 20 years of experience anchored in sharing, identifying, and responding to the multiple narratives that exist within our community. In 2017, Baker joined the Minneapolis Foundation as the Chief Impact Officer and Senior Vice President, where she oversees the foundation's grant-making programs, providing strategic direction to community initiatives and multi-sector partnerships. She's also the podcast host of Conversations with Shanda and is a fifth-generation North Minneapolis, a historically Black area native. Her personal and professional purpose were further ignited in 2020 following the tragic killing of George Floyd. Here, Baker shares lessons in community and creating impact. Caroline asks the question, who is Shanda? Chanda Smith Baker replied, "That's such a great question because Chanda is evolving. I am a woman. I'm a mother. I'm a daughter. I'm a learner. I'm a student. I'm responsible. I'm irresponsible. I'm perfect and imperfect. I'm faithful and grateful." Caroline asked the question, "How did you get to the place of comfort where, when asked, 'Who is Chanda?' you can have one of the answers be imperfect? And as we continue to help other Black chiefs, how do we help them realize it is okay to be imperfect?" Baker responded, "It is personally important for me to open up space for other people to lead. I recognize that one of the barriers for me was that I felt I had to be perfect before I took a step. There are lots of reasons that I moved into leadership, and in doing so, I realized through the exposure and through opportunities that were out of my control, and in some cases, even through public opportunities to make mistakes that didn't break me, but they made me stronger. Those are the lessons that helped me realize what I was built from. Embedded in leadership, embedded in life, and embedded in parenting, embedded in every aspect of life is imperfection and the opportunity to be introspective, to learn, and to grow." Caroline asked the question, "How has that driven your career path from in-home daycare provider to SVP of community impact with the Minneapolis Foundation in a city that got on the map via George Floyd for a moment, which was a different kind of moment for our community?" Baker responded, "I am grateful for the community that has poured into me and the people who have always nurtured the possibilities in me. That stayed consistent. The parents who believed in me, the families that believed in me, and my church community that believed in me." Caroline asked the question, "In your position as Chief Impact Officer at the Minneapolis Foundation, what is that role responsible for? And why is it important for a place like a foundation to have a role like that? And why, then, was it important for you to step into that role?" Baker responded, "I realize the importance now, more than ever, of the visibility of me in that role, particularly with the background I have in this city and based on my history in North Minneapolis. Philanthropy has not always been accessible to our community, and certainly has not always had Black women or people of color in visible leadership roles. In a moment of crisis in our city, like we have seen, if people didn't know Black people lived there before they knew following 2020, they have seen our pain and our actions on display on a global level. For me to be able to respond in a way of knowing versus a place of trying to understand was important. For me to be able to be networked and to respond quickly has been important. The role is beyond giving out money. Philanthropy is so much more than that. It is about leveraging power to build power for people who have been left out of the equation. It is about creating opportunities to make systems change." The next article is titled, "From the Pages to the Stages, an Ode to Essence's Everlasting Impact on Black Music and Comedy Through Our Covers in Essence Festival of Culture." 1995, the first Essence Music Festival was created as one-off event to celebrate the magazine's 25th anniversary, when more than 142,000 people came to see Aretha Franklin and B.B. King alongside celebrity host Queen Latifah in New Orleans over the 4th of July weekend, an annual tradition was born. Beyonce, Bay, an Essence Festival of Culture headliner in 2007, has graced our cover 6 times, including her glamorous one for the September 2006 issue. Janet Jackson, from Jackson's first Essence cover in August 1985 to her most recent in July/August 2018, our readers watched the Velvet Rope singer grow up before their eyes. Jasmine Sullivan, the Hex Tales songstress, was featured in our July-August 2021 issue right before she performed in Philly for the virtual EFOC. Kevin Hart, the Laugh at My Pain comedian, was on our June 2017 men's issue cover and returns to the festival this year on June 30th. Chloe X Haley, the duo rocked Essence's inaugural digital cover in February 2019. It debuted before their first studio album, Ungodly Hour. H.E.R., the Grammy-winning singer-songwriter, created a high buzz with her December 2020 digital cover. Missy Elliott, for our 30th anniversary issue, in March 2000, we celebrated 20 years of Super Duper Fly. Mary J. Blige, the No More Drama award-winning singer, has been our cover star a total of 12 times, including her memorable November 2017 appearance. The next article is titled, Pure Drip from the Inside Out. Maybe you've been thirsty lately. Wellness is connected to wholeness, and wholeness begins with replenishing yourself on the inside. It's looking in the mirror and loving the woman staring back at you so much that all of your decisions are connected to empowering her, making smart choices that renew the body, soul, and mind, putting radical self-care first so you can own the way you show up for the people and things you love most. Smart Water is a partner on your journey towards living well with options that hydrate and hit different. It's purity you can taste. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.